Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside Coach David Fizdale and our seven-time champion, Robert Ori. Never gets old, no matter how many times I say it. Never gets old. Do you just do every restaurant you walk into when they're like, what name, sir? And you're like, seven-time champ, Robert Ori? No?
You know, I do. That's a seven champ or big shot. You know, take your pick.
Just
I'm
whatever.
In there somewhere.
It's a free meal there.
Yesterday, you announced that you are graduating from the University of Alabama
Absolutely.
In May. Of course, play college ball. What motivated you to go back to school?
You know, I always had this desire to coach, and I want to coach on the college level someday. And you can't coach without a degree. And watching my son, who's 15-year-old Christian, he's getting ready to go to college soon. Mm-hmm. And I said, wouldn't that be great if I was able to coach him in college? And he looked at me like, no, because you coached our AAU team. No, I don't want you coaching. So I'm just doing it for him. My mom is going to be proud. So,
Absolutely,
I'm
as she should
myself.
Be.
Yeah, the thing is, I was so close to graduating when I got drafted in the NBA, and I was like, I'm making money now. What I need to go back for? But now I see why.
Right, yeah. Right. It's bigger than you, right?
Yeah.
Man, you're an inspiration, Rob, and I just think that even more so, all of us, what we could take a page out of is you never stop learning.
Correct.
And I really, really admire that you could put your ego to the side and say, I'm going back to school and finish. And I think for your son, it's a great example.
Yeah.
And I hope you get to do that.
Thanks.
I really do.
Listen to the teacher, do homework.
Oh, I'm in a finance class right now, and I'm scratching my head every day like, huh? What?
But useful, right?
Yes, that's very
gonna be
useful. Yes.
Useful
awesome.
As you continue on, as Viz says, never stop learning. All right, guys, you can learn a little bit on the show today. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about the defending Eastern Conference champs. They've won 11 of their last 12 games. Is this hot streak a blip or a trend for Miami? We'll discuss that later in the show. First, though, we take it to Portland, where the Pelicans dominated the Blazers for the first 42 minutes of the game. But you know what? The game is longer than 42 minutes. New Orleans built up a 17-point lead, 5 minutes and 56 seconds left in the fourth quarter, according to ESPN Stats and Info. Entering tonight, that night, last night, teams were 236-0 with a 17-point-plus lead and under 6 minutes to go this season. And that's when the latest episode of Dame Time started. Damian Lillard outscored the Pelicans 15-9 from that point on to lead Portland to a miraculous comeback win. Lillard sealed the one-point win by hitting 2 free throws with 1.2 seconds to play. Now, after the game, Lillard talked about why he's able to rise to any challenge. I loved listening to this.
So in those moments, I just get more aggressive. You know, I seek things out, and I try to go after it. Instead of taking a step back, I take a step forward and then another step forward to try to impose myself as opposed to, you know, playing it safe and worrying about what could go wrong. Once that moment comes, I'm like, if it goes wrong, I'm willing to take that blame. I'm willing to shoulder whatever somebody got to say about it. And if it goes well, you know, let's go back to work and do it again the next time it happens. You know, so that's kind of my mentality. Instead of tightening up, I get more aggressive and, you know, I go for it in those situations.
Do not be afraid to try, the man said. Also had a great sermon on work last night. He was preaching. Now, dating back to when he entered the league in 2012-2013 season, Dame has scored by far the most points to tie or take the lead in the final minute of a game. So, Robert, one clutch man to another. Is Damian Lillard building a case to be on the NBA Mount Rushmore of clutchness?
Of course. This dude has hit a clutch shot versus every team in the NBA. He might be the only guy that's ever done that.
Yep.
So you got to think about that. Every team. There's a lot of teams
that's
in the NBA.
A lot of
like
teams.
Four or five. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Damian Lillard, when he comes on this court, you are afraid of this man because at the end of the game, we all know who's going to take the shot, but you don't know where he's going to take that shot from. Going to the free throw line, making two clutch like in this game, or shooting it from half court like he did on a...
Yeah.
You know, it's just so many things he can do.
I think the ability to quiet your mind in that moment is really an innate skill.
Mm-hmm.
He had it. You know, Dame has it. Joe Johnson, who I coach, was a killer in those moments. It's a lot of guys who just has this innate ability to quiet their mind, to block everything out, to not worry about what might happen if I don't make this shot. What I always ask, and you can answer this, is it tougher on the guy that knows he gets to take that shot and is always going to take that shot no matter what?
Right.
Or is it tougher on the guy that's waiting to receive and doesn't know when that shot is coming or if that ball is going to bounce to him? Big Shot, I always envy your position in this. I'm asking you, as I don't know when I'm going to get this chance. Do you think that's a tougher position?
You know, it all deals with your makeup. Do you want that shot? We all as kids do that 5-4-3-2-1 on the playground, but do you really want it when the lights are bright and everybody's watching you? So for me, I've always wanted that shot. You know, and I played on teams where I wasn't the first option, but I was the second option. And in my mind, I am the first option because every team is going to shut down that second option. So it built up my confidence. Maybe want a peacock. I'm going to put my tail feathers out and flap them some. So for me, I was just happy to be in that moment because I knew I was about to step up for my team.
And your teammates knew.
Oh, they know. And some of those just bounced to you.
Yeah.
That was the crazy part.
I had the magnet in me.
So who, Robert, would you say then is on your Mount Rushmore clutchness?
You know, I would have to go with the number one guy is MJ, of course.
Yep.
MJ, then I'll have to with Kobe. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy everybody always laughs at me about. But I put Reggie Miller on there. For what he did in the last few moments of that New York Knicks game.
So, yeah.
Because, and then, you know, I don't know that some guy played in Houston, L.A.
What was his name again?
Spurs.
Lots of things.
Robert Horry. I put Robert Horry on there. Yeah, I put Robert Horry. You know, and the close second, I have Dame right there. You know, when people push me off, put Dame on there. But for me, I'm going to pub myself. If you don't pub yourself,
no one else
will.
But you wanted to know who has confidence to take the last shot. There's your confidence.
Oh,
right
no
there.
Doubt. But again, look at the difference. Mm-hmm. All of those guys in their career, they had the ball in their hands full time, and they knew I'm either making or missing this shot. And so I always found it like interesting that guys like Robert, who may not have been on the first option.
Well, like he said, you're not. You might on certain teams you play. By the way, not
Kerrs,
on all teams, but on certain
Steve Kerrs and guys like that who had to wait to get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough spot to be in.
It's really harder. I didn't want to say it's really harder because you don't have a rhythm.
Right.
Think about all these guys are playing with the Rock. They get a rhythm.
No doubt.
You know, and when you're not the first option or the second option during the course of a game, and you're just waiting to pick your turn, it's really hard and tough on you because you might not have a shot in like 10 minutes.
Right.
But so you have to step up for the big moment.
And anyone out there who answered, no, I would want to be like that, I would be like, Robert, go test yourself one time. It is not easy at all. Let's talk about the Jazz because they beat the Celtics last night, 117-109. Six Utah players scored in double digits. All nine players in action scored at least five. So, Fizz, as a coach, how much is that depth valuable? Do you think that will make the difference come playoff time? Or do you think we shorten benches so much, it's really more of a regular season stat?
Man, I think it's a great question. And I think it's just going to depend on matchups. I think a lot of it will depend on injuries and foul trouble, right? Mm-hmm. But you want to go into the situation like this.
Sure.
Right?
Better to
deep.
Have it, not need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Need it, not have
so
it.
The question will be, can that overcome some of their matchup issues that they're going to face along their path?
Right.
The only team I really saw in recent history that really went deep and won the title was the old Toronto team. That Toronto team played 10, 11 guys consistently throughout. And the Jazz have that type of team. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can sustain it. But I think a lot of it is questionable and based on matchups and injuries.
You know, the pandemic has made team depth really important.
Oh.
Because you never know what's going to happen with the protocols or injuries and whatnot. So with them being deep like that, it helps out a lot. It also helps down the line because they're well rested. And so now you're looking at these teams, they're like, okay, are they that good? It doesn't matter that they're good because when they're coming into the playoffs, they're going to be fresh. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing when you enter the playoffs, being fresh.
I think something else that's unique about the Jazz that's probably different for other teams is you can plug in all of the guys on their team into that system. Because Quinn has created such a beautiful basketball system.
Yep.
And it's going to work if you can dribble, pass, and shoot. And they've shown that they have multiple guys that can do that. If you look up and down their roster, all of those guys are skilled, can shoot the ball, can make plays for each other.
Well, that's interesting, right? Because that system has been most compared to your Spurs teams, Robert. And Jordan Clarkson, in some way, right, I'm sure reminds you of some of your teammates there.
Yes, he reminds me of Manu Ginobili. And he reminds me of Sam Cassell because he has a point guard mentality. He has a scorer mentality like Manu. And it's so funny how guys feel like it's a demotion if you don't start. It is not a demotion if you don't start. If you in the, I say, if it's fourth quarter and it's clutch time, you in the game, you more important than that starter.
No doubt.
You have to look at it like that. And with Clarkson in the game, he brings the energy that's like no other. He's able to do what he wants to do at the court anytime, shooting threes, and he's learning as he go that I have to be a teammate to be successful because when he was with the Lakers, it was kind of me. But now he's playing team basketball.
It's maturity, right?
Yeah. And he's in a culture of winning.
Yes. Yeah.
So he's seeing, like, I have to sacrifice something to be a part of something better. So that's what you're seeing, and he's playing fantastic.
Well, you say, Robert, though, I wish more young players could, I mean, you know, look, you can't speed people up in terms of maturity or knowledge, but I wish more young players understood that, because they're the ones in those bench roles earlier in their careers. And guess what? You can score just as many points in minutes, you know, 10 through whatever of a game as you can shoot in 1 through 5 or whatever. It's not like the baskets leave the court. They're there for those bench minutes too, and you can do some damage.
That's right.
All right, I do want to move on to a very different topic here. On Tuesday evening, a series of shootings at 3 Atlanta area massage parlors left 8 people dead. 6 of the victims were of Asian descent, 7 were women. Now, according to authorities, a 21-year-old man was captured last night after a manhunt. Although it's not clear whether there was a racial motivation in the shootings, it is hard not to make some connections. Stop AAPI Hate, formed to prevent anti-Asian discrimination during the coronavirus pandemic, called them, quote, an unspeakable tragedy for both the victims' families and an Asian American community that has been reeling from high levels of racist attacks. LeBron James responded to the shootings, tweeting, "My condolences go out to the families of all the victims, the entire Asian community tonight on what transpired in Atlanta. Coward, coward young man, just senseless and tragic." Joseph Tsai, owner of the Brooklyn Nets, one of the co-founders of the Alibaba Group, a global internet technology company based in China, retweeted LeBron and added, "Thank you for speaking up for the Asian community." And Jeremy Lin, who recently said players called him coronavirus while on the court in the G League bubble, tweeted in part, quote, "To my Asian American family, please take time to grieve, but know you are loved, seen, and important. We have to keep standing up, speaking out, rallying together, and fighting for change. We cannot lose hope. Stop Asian hate. Now." Jeremy is, of course, absolutely right. This has to stop. Our thoughts are with the victims' families. We will be right back. Well, welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm alongside Robert Ori. I'm alongside David Fizdale. And not only are the Bucks on a roll, winning 9 of their last 10 going into tonight, the Sixers won their 6th straight last night over the Knicks, despite missing Joel Embiid as he recovers from a bruised knee. Now, Tobias Harris led Philly with 30 points. And after this bucket in the last 2 minutes, shouted out, "I'm an all-star!" Tobias and Doc explained why after the game.
That's for sure what I said. And for me, that's just reaffirming that to myself. I mean, I know the fans know that, but reaffirming that to them and to myself, especially making those big plays. I embrace all those challenges with what anybody has to say. You know, it doesn't really affect myself, because I know when I look everyone in that locker room in the eye before the game, we're ready to go out there and win. So, yeah, that's where that emotion, and that is what I say, yep.
He is an all-star, in my opinion. And that's not a slight. I think whenever someone says that, they mean someone else isn't. Everyone's deserving who was on it. But Tobias is one as well. You know, I think Tobias wants to win more, but I still think he thinks he should have been on the all-star team, and I agree with that.
Tobias actually has never been an all-star, although he has come close in the voting and everything. He's max player, though. That's nice. Does he need that extra motivation of needing to say that kind of stuff to himself? What do you think?
I mean, if he feels that way, I can't get in his head. If he feels like he needs that to keep pushing himself forward, he doesn't need to tell us, though, because I think all of us understand that he is that talent of a player. You know, his situation is going to be a lot probably like Mike Conley. You know, one of those guys that's super talented, go through their career averaging big numbers, and at some point, he finds a way to break through, but it's only so many guys that can be on the team. But if he feels like he's got to scream that out to keep himself fueled, then go right ahead.
You need to. You know, it's all about self-motivation, self-confidence, and pubbing yourself.
Yep.
You know, for him, now he's telling everybody he's an all-star, so now everybody's like, oh,
on
next
alert.
Year, we got to look out for this kid. But we all expected Tobias to be this great athlete when he came to the league. He had the size.
Yep.
He had the shooting ability. He could do everything on the court. And he's been one of those guys. You know, he reminds me of Rudy Gay. He's always had that body. He's always had that skill set. But you bounce from team, and then you get to a team like here where you're not the first fiddle or the second fiddle,
right.
The third fiddle. So even though you got all-star caliber talent, are you being recognized like you should?
Well, yeah. Tobias is a great example to me of how sometimes we miss the nuance of basketball, right? So he is a guy who has excelled when he is in the right system with the right coach and been more of an average or slightly above average player when he isn't. And that is true for most of the players in the NBA. The top guys will always be the top guys. The guys who are just scraping the bottom will probably always be scraping the bottom. But most of the guys in the middle fit is the answer.
Right.
And Tobias's numbers here show the fit that he has found once again with Doc Rivers and with the Sixers.
No doubt.
I do want to get to the late game because the Mavericks and Clippers meet for the second time in three nights. LA won in Dallas on Monday. Now, despite that loss, the Mavs have won 7 of 10. Kristaps Porzingis has averaged 22 and 10 so far in March. Dallas currently sits at 8th in the West race, right in the middle of that play-in zone. Now, remember, if you finish in the top 6, you get that nice break before the playoffs. If you finish 7 through 10, you have to play your way in. So the Mavs are currently 2.5 games behind Portland in that West 6th spot. We're going to be talking about it a lot in the second half of this season. Fizz, what do you think Dallas has to do the rest of the regular season to avoid the play-in games?
Focus on what's in front of them that day,
mm-hmm.
right? Just take it a game at a time. Play your best basketball collectively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, treat every game almost like a playoff game.
That line.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Do the playoff work now so you can get out of that situation for later. But I tell you what, if for some crazy reason they do end up in that situation, wouldn't you like to have Luka Doncic?
Yeah. It's a good way to enter the right? playing games if you got to be there.
If you got to be there, wouldn't you want to have him with you? So I think the biggest thing is and Rick is going to do a great job of this, is just keeping them in the moment of taking it a step at a time. Again, you're seeing with Kristaps Porzingis on the floor what they can be. And so if they can just maintain health and just keep focusing in on getting better every day, they'll be fine because they got the talent.
That is a strong key word there, health. Because we know Porzingis hasn't been the healthiest guy in the NBA. And he's the key to that team. He can do so many different things, stretch the defense, go inside and score. And the way that him and Doncic works together is fantastic because they like they've been playing together for years, but they've only been playing like one. So they have to stay healthy and they have to be smart about taking advantage of their opportunities. They cannot lose to any teams behind them because there are three teams trying to do exactly what they're trying to do. So they need to stay in position so they can rise to the occasion.
And you know those trade rumors that you might have heard about Kristaps Porzingis maybe a month ago, Mark Cuban has said the whole time, but then reiterated again yesterday on national television, they absolutely, positively are not going to trade Kristaps Porzingis.
I heard that once before too.
Well, that's true, Trevor Horry. It is true. And you were traded and then sent back, so you've yes. had the gamut. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Miami. The Heat is just 11 of 12. They are cooking. But is their hot streak a blip or a trend? We will discuss. Plus, here's what The Jump recommends. On ESPN Plus, Jackie McMullen profiling how Nuggets guard Jamal Murray, fighting through the weight of growing expectations in Denver, and how one meeting with Kobe Bryant changed his approach and on-court motivation. Check that out during the break. We'll be right back. Bill Parcells spent nearly 20 years as an NFL head coach. Along the way, he won 2 Super Bowls, was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and acquired an excellent nickname. Shout out, Big Tuna. Still, what sticks with me the most when I think about Parcells is a phrase he gets credit for coining. Quote, "The best ability is availability. It is pure, simple, and true. You can be the world's absolute best athlete if injuries or something else is constantly keeping you off the floor. You are no more lethal to your opponent than his grandmother." And anyone in the NBA can vouch for that saying this year. Well, it's the Miami Heat, one of the teams most hard hit by COVID. The Heat have lost 156 man games due to injury and illness this season. That is the third most in the league. Jimmy Butler alone missed 10 games due to the NBA's health and safety protocols. By last month, the whole situation had become dire enough that the reigning Eastern Conference champions had tumbled all the way to 13th in the standings, which wouldn't even qualify them for a play-in game, much less the regular postseason. But slowly, as the teams got more players back, got into more of a rhythm, got a little more rest, a little more distance from their grueling run in the bubble, things started to change. The Heat won another game, then another game, then another game. By the time they got to last night's matchup with Cleveland, they were on a full-on roll, bulldozing the Cavs so brutally right out of the gate that J.B. Bickerstaff had to call a timeout less than a minute into the game. Bam Adebayo, who'd missed the last 4 with a knee tendonitis issue, was back dunking again. Duncan Robinson was shooting threes all over the place. And Butler, well, you know how he does things. Check out the crafty steal here. Oh, I'm just going to take that. Thank you. And then, of course, the easy bucket. The Heat would finish the night with a double-digit win. They have now won 11 of their last 12, a stretch that includes victories over both the defending champion Lakers and the league-leading Jazz. And they've done it with high energy, with a defense that ranks second in the NBA over that same period. Now, the five-man unit of Bam, Robinson, Butler, Tyler Hero, and Kelly Olynyk is outscoring opponents 18 points per 100 possessions, which is crazy. And worth noting, that unit has only been used in 12 games due to all these injuries. That's 30% of Miami's season. That's all they've had with their best players. They've now climbed up to fourth in the East standings. Butler is getting that in the MVP conversation tag. And look, the odds of Jimmy actually winning that honor, they're long. But he's certainly a great case for all of us to examine what we consider valuable in this league. Is it gaudy stats, lots of points? Well, then Jimmy is not your man. He is not a score-first player all the time. He's particularly shied away from shooting threes over the past couple seasons. But if your criteria is being directly responsible for a team winning, yeah. Miami is 10-0 in the last 10 games Jimmy has played, 18-8 in games he's played overall this season. The best ability is indeed availability. And as the rest of the league is finding out, Jimmy and the other Heat key players are now forcefully and quite convincingly available. Fizz, you know this franchise better than most. Yeah. Do you think this recent run from Miami is a blip or a trend?
Oh, this is trending. You already know that this is the Heat we're talking about. This isn't like some up and coming emerging team. Like, it was a matter of health for them. And I guarantee you one thing, everybody else may have had some panic in them. In that building, there's no panic, and they understand the day-to-day routine of building habits. No matter who's available, they're going to keep working at it. So when they do get healthy, this is what you get. And the hard part is when you're one of those teams that's like, man, we're in the heat, we're in the run, we got a chance to make the playoffs, but the Heat are sitting back there not playing well and not healthy, you're like, dang. They're going to come roaring back, and one of us is going to be out of this deal. And that's what you're seeing right now. And so, no, I think it's trending, and it's going to keep going in this direction with good health.
You know, it boiled down to health. Jimmy Butler was out, never got a rhythm with the guys, played deep into the playoffs, had shortened off season. Then a little bit of the fat cat syndrome. They thought, okay, we went to the finals. We'd be back to the top. We can be an elite team. All these things come into play, but now you see these guys now locked in. It's the second half of the season. This is when teams who've been in the playoffs and tasted that championship bubble, this is when they key in and lock in. Now that they're locked in, they have everybody healthy, which is the biggest key. Now everybody, they're putting everybody on notice. Think about it. They beat the Jazz. Yeah. They beat the Lakers. And the West is supposed to be the team to beat. They went in there and ran the score up on these guys. So you got to watch out for the Heat. They might be trending all the way back up to being number one team in the East.
And now there are questions about what the Heat might do before the trade deadline. Look, we know that Myers Leonard is available. We also know that Avery Bradley is reportedly available, and they're looking for someone who can kind of replace what Jay Crowder did for them last season. Is that the biggest hole that you see? Or
I really appreciate them looking for someone to replace Jay Crowder, because that was the biggest key. You need a guy who's tough nose, who can play two, three, four, five positions defensively. And him, the way he went out and made himself a three-point shooter for that team, because we know Jay Crowder's up and down, but in that Heat uniform, he became a consistent three-point shooter, was huge for them. So if they can find someone like Jay Crowder, then they're going to be back into championship contention.
Because you got to remember, that last year's team had multiple 6'6", 6'7", athletes like that that can switch. Jones Jr., Crowder, all of those guys were running around out there. So to add another guy like that, to bring that back, that'll help them big time.
Well, I'm going to interrupt you because we have a mind meld here on ESPN as we are talking about the Heat and trade possibilities. Woj, coming in. ESPN sources, Oklahoma City is finalizing a trade to send Trevor Ariza to the Heat for Myers Leonard and a 2027 second round pick. Oklahoma City will just be doing an auto draft trade, you know, not an auto draft by that time. this will require Myers to waive his no trade clause. He is expected to do so. So, all right, let's talk real deal here with Ariza. What does he do for them down the stretch?
Well, I'll go with it. I think if he can play anything like the Trevor Ariza that we know, he adds that dimension. 6'7". Defensive player, long, can switch, and you can't leave him open. And he's around other tough guys, because he's a tough dude. Trevor grew up in the neighborhood over here. He's a tough-minded, tough dude, and I think he adds what we're talking about. Yes. I don't know if he's going to give you everything Jay Crowder gave you, because Jay Crowder's a younger guy who's still in that wheelhouse, but he definitely adds to that mix.
I love veteran leadership he brings to the locker room. Think about it, this guy played alongside Kobe Bryant. He's been in that position to win championships, so he knows what it takes. And what I like best about Trevor, he has an old school mentality. He's a little nasty when he goes on the court. And you need that in the playoffs, because when you need to get in the face of someone or try to get them off the game, Trevor's that guy, and you have to appreciate him.
You think he's got some motivation? He's been bounced around all over the place and kind of just been a part of trades and just discarded, and now he lands with a team that has a chance to win it. Might see a motivated Trevor Ariza come out and play really well.
Someone in Miami might have a chip on their shoulder?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of contagious down there.
All right. More news, and unfortunately this is incredibly sad. The Dallas Mavericks just shared the first public details of an accident that Sean Bradley suffered in late January while riding his bicycle a block away from his home in Utah. A car struck Bradley from behind. The accident caused a traumatic spinal cord injury that has left Bradley paralyzed. After undergoing neck fusion surgery, Bradley has spent the last 8 weeks hospitalized and in rehabilitation. The Mavs said that he is in good spirits, that Bradley plans to use his accident as a platform to bring greater awareness to the importance of bicycle safety. Mark Cuban said in part, quote, "Sean has always been incredibly determined and shown a fighting spirit. We wish him nothing but the best in his recovery. He will always be part of our Mavericks family." Of course, all of us here at The Jump wish Sean our very best. Robert, you played against him.
Yes. You know, Sean was one of those guys that didn't get a lot of respect in the league because he was so tall and skinny. And you know, when you see tall, skinny guys, you want to try to posterize them.
Sure.
And so, but Sean was a guy who just did what he was supposed to do. He blocked shots. He, you know, he drafted by the 76ers, wore 76, you know, because he was 7 feet tall and 6 inches. It worked out perfect for him. So he was an awesome guy. I had a chance to meet him a couple of times. And when you see guys that just have a love for life, that's what Sean was.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I just love life. I'm just proud to be in the NBA. He was just he's just a great dude. And he's one of those guys you just like talking to.
And I think, you know, what's interesting is we've always attached his identity to that form, right? That 7'6" frame, that long guy. I used to play against him back when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he blocked a lot of shots. A lot of our finger rolls got rejected. But now, you know, you can see his state of mind is in the right place in that he's taking his situation to help other people and try to save other people from this situation. And so this big 7'6" guy now is going to be about that big old heart and how he shares it with the world. And I just hope he and his family are at peace with this whole thing and really being able to move forward.
And let's help him spread that message.
Yes.
As you were talking during the break, this is not the first bicycle-related fatality the NBA has suffered in the last year.
Yeah, my good friend and a lot of our good friends, B.J. Johnson down in Houston, who was a Houston Rocket NBA staple, was hit on his normal ride that he always rode. And, you know, we're texting now and we're distracted and we're mad when we're driving. And, you know, hopefully we can just get to a place where people could just focus in and do what they need to do so no one else has to deal with this.
Yeah, I don't mean to imply that Sean is a fatality. Obviously, he's very much still with us.
But the injury.
That just gotta be, experience.
Yeah. You have to be aware. And it's like the people that texting and not paying attention because, you know, and it goes both ways. Bikers sometimes, they feel like their cars are jet out. So you really have to
New
be
York.
On point.
Yeah.
So you just got to be careful out there in them streets.
Yeah. Yeah, and you just hope that, again, for his family and for him, that they can keep it moving.
Well, we certainly wish Sean the best and look forward to seeing him out and about in the future. We'll be right back here at The Jump. Tonight, Bucks Sixers. Always just fun when those teams get together. We talked about Tobias Harris's impact earlier in the show, but Robert, as the Sixers will be without Embiid tonight on ESPN, how have you seen their offense adjust, particularly through Ben Simmons?
You know, Ben Simmons is one of these can do it all type of guys. He's like a Magic Johnson, and Embiid is like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So you have a little breakdown where he's able to go to the hole and do different things. He's able to get guys in positions. Like here, this is a play where he's going to come off the play. But here, you got Derek Favors, who is a big, who's normally not guarding guys who can handle the rock. Then you got the guys on the outside spreading the offense because you know they're going to need that lane for Simmons to drive. Right here, you see him go to the hole and get an and one. He was supposed to run this play with a dribble handoff, but he breaks it and uses his ability. Right here, you see him in the post taking the MB spot right here. No, I'm back it down. Get the ball, you know, take up this little space right here. You got KJ on you, who's a little guy. Like, this is what I love about it. He does the old school fake baseline, go up, loses a little bit, but gathers himself and go with a right-handed jump hook in the paint. points rate. This is my favorite, though. Right here, you see, set a pick because you've been setting the Spurs up all night with the drive. Now your defender is backed off you. He's not able to come out and take Curry. You're too far away, man. You got to know who's on the court at all times. So he presents opportunities like this for his teammates, for himself, because that player right there, because everybody knows he can drive back off. Curry comes off. Most open three you have all night.
Right. Yeah, and I think, too, Rob, what's interesting about him and what's brilliant about what Doc is doing with mm-hmm. him is he plays him as a ball handler, mm-hmm. but once he gives up the ball, he turns into a big.
Right.
So he starts rolling to the rim. He starts posting mismatches. He gets him around the hoop. And I like Ben Simmons from the standpoint of a lot of people criticize him because he doesn't shoot jump shots. He knows who he is. He's secure at that. And Doc is putting him in position to play to his strengths. And last year when Embiid went out, this team exploded. So don't be surprised if the Sixers don't take off, you know, without Embiid on the floor.
Well, shots for everybody.
Yep. Well, that distinction, though, is important, right?
Yeah.
This kind of gets back to the fit conversation, too. Doc Rivers in the front office decided that starting this year, Ben Simmons didn't have to be anyone other than Ben Simmons.
Be
that
yourself,
is a
kid.
Change from the previous few years in Philly. And they also restored a roster around him and Joel with, as you point out, Seth Curry, more space.
Seth Curry,
everything.
Danny Green, and Tobias is playing like an all-star. So you got to respect what Ben Simmons. This day and age in the game of basketball, everybody says, oh, you got to shoot threes. No, you don't. You play basketball. You do with the God-given talents that God gave you, and you use those, and he's using those to the best of his ability.
Absolutely. Someone has to shoot threes. Doesn't always have to be you, though. Yeah. All right, crunch time here on The Jump. Tuesday, the Rockets lost to the Hawks by double digits, marking their 17th straight that they have lost. That is kind of bananas. That ties their franchise record for consecutive losses. Now, on the bright side, our Tim McMahon reporting Houston's top scorer, Christian Wood, expected to return tonight against the Warriors. Robert, do you think that will be enough to help the Rockets end the skid?
My son's going to hate this. Nick, he's a huge Rockets fan. And he was like, yo, you know, when we was back and we was losing, you had this thing called 1-2-3 Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, you got a problem. It's 1-2-3 Galveston. You're going down to Galveston because right now you can't fly. Just
can't
go down to Galveston, take a vacation. Yeah, you can't. Just take a vacation right now, man. You hate to see a franchise like this. You know, I know Dream's not on the sideline. On the sideline no more rooting you on, but I'm sorry, Houston. It's bad.
They're in the downside right now, and it's a tough situation. But I tell you what, there are some bright spots in these young guys that they have. They got a few young guys over there that are super talented that's going to get to play a lot of basketball and hopefully grow so that when they can add to that roster and build the team, they'll be in a better place. But Kyrie needs to come in and sage it up a little bit.
Get out the bad
juju out of there.
He's going to need more to sage.
LeBron James, along with his business partner, Maverick Carter, are making history, becoming the first black partners of Fenway Sports Group, which owns, among other entities, the Boston Red Sox. Congratulations to both of them. LeBron, of course, in the past, shown allegiance to the Yankees, frankly, with a career record of 57-38. He's also kind of owned the Celtics, so does he own other Boston? Okay. Is any chance Boston will finally embrace LeBron now that he's a part owner of the Boston Red Sox?
Only on Red Sox game nights. Because when he walks into that garden, they are going to boo him like any other time when he came in there because he's going against the Celtics. But I think this is awesome. It's great for diversity in the governing bodies. And it's showing that, with the right focus, we can get more people in there and get more diversity.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Nobody complained when Shaq became a part of the Sacramento Queens, Kings, because he called them the Queens, so hey. It is what it is.
Moved on from that nickname. Come on. I will say, right, and LeBron also owns a piece of Liverpool with that same ownership group.
That's awesome.
So apparently, well on that way to that post-career NBA ownership. All right, tomorrow night, the Hornets and Lakers face off, marking LaMelo Ball's first time playing against LeBron James. When asked Tuesday if Ball was excited to face James, he simply said, nah. I grew up a little different, not really on basketball like that, so not really. I don't even know quite what that means, Robert.
Really?
I mean, if anyone grew up on basketball, it was LaMelo Ball, right? I mean, he was like family trained in basketball, which to his dad's credit made the kids so good. I mean,
when you talk about kids who ate and slept basketball, those three guys, that's all they did. They knew, he knew exactly. Man, come on, man.
That's a weird.
Really?
Hey, he better be careful because he might know him tonight.
tomorrow night.
Yes. I'm sorry, but yeah, he may know him sooner than he think in a bad way.
I just didn't quite get. Look, I get it. You don't want to show your opponent too much deference. Oh man, I'm so excited. I can't wait. But yeah, that face, that Robert Horry face. That's great.
That's a great meme there.
That's how I feel. Time for our League Pass game of the night. 10 games on the slate. Ooh, two good ones on ESPN. We've been talking about those, but our staff decided the League Pass game should be Nets at Pacers. Tips off at 7 Eastern. The Nets, of course, are rolling, but we want to focus on former Net Caris LeVert getting the chance to face his old team. Remember, LeVert out for 2 months after the Pacers discovered a cancerous mass on his kidneys that was only caught because of the post-trade physical that sent him from Brooklyn to Houston, then to Indiana. Coach Fizz, what do you expect from LeVert tonight against his former team?
I think he's going to have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And this is not about playing against the Nets and who traded you. Because like you said, if they trade you, it saved you. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just him being able to celebrate life and enjoy being a basketball player in the NBA again and having fun.
He's going to be very emotional. He's just got to keep his emotions in check and make sure he doesn't try to do too much and do something that can injure him further. So I just want him to just be happy and thankful. Fun. You know how you see those guys go out and kiss the floor? He should just go out and hug the whole franchise because they saved his life, like you said. And he should be just happy he got traded. This is the one time that a guy should be extremely happy he got traded.
Absolutely. And, Robert, you were part of a trade that had this kind of in a different direction.
Yes.
Can you tell the story real quick?
Yeah, I got traded to Detroit, and this is when Sean Elliott had kidney issues and failed his physical, and then they sent me back to Houston, and I went on to win a championship. So, you know, I'm sad you were sick, but I'm glad you got me sent back to Houston.
As is your son, apparently. I mean, crazy day of news here, by the way, and we do want to wish, again, our best to Caris LeVert as he goes out and plays tonight, our best to Sean Bradley recovering from his bicycle accident, our best to the Asian American community, not just in Atlanta, but all over the country. And look, things happen, right, in the world, in the NBA. We had trade coming with Trevor Ariza now. It's a good time to remember how lucky all of us are, lucky to get to enjoy basketball and everything else. Thank you guys for joining us. We are going to be back at our normal time tomorrow. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the ball. We'll be back tomorrow.